You are listening to the Real Housewives of the Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Rogers. In this sweet space, you'll hear from women who are like you and some that are not. We will talk about how God is walking with us through the good and the hard on subjects like marriage, homemaking, friendships, ministry, parenting, and seeking God. You will also hear from me sharing what God is doing in my own heart. The enemy of our souls wants us to feel alone, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So if you are like me and need that reminder, join us as we laugh and cry together, giving God the glory through the stories of our lives. We are continuing the Quiet Time with God conversation, and you are going to glean so much from hearing the perspective of my sweet sister, Ashley, a Gen Z follower of Jesus, an incredible wife to my precious baby brother and nurse. We unpack the challenges many of us face today when trying to prioritize spending time with Jesus. My sister is wise in her generation and beyond her years, so sit down and listen in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Real Housewives of the Kingdom. I am really excited to continue in our series about quiet time with God. And today I have my really sweet sister, Ashley. She just married my brother, Dakota, back in June. You probably heard me talk about on the podcast, heading out to their wedding. And I am just so thrilled to have her on, but I'm going to have her introduce herself, and then we'll get into today's talk. Welcome, sis. Yeah. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Well, like you said, my name's Ashley, now Baker. Woo! as a student, yep. So I guess we just had our 4-month anniversary, I guess, of marriage.
Love it.
I am a nurse of 2 years coming up in November, which I guess it will be November by the time this comes out. So, and I do home health. So I'm mainly work one-on-one with patients at their homes and kind of meet them there and their needs that way. I am 24, grew up, have always lived in Tennessee, born and raised. So I joked, I was like, Caroline's going to need a translator for this podcast. I was like, cause no one's going to understand me, but it'll be fine.
We can totally understand you. I love you. I love your accent. It's awesome. It like makes me so happy. And we have people listening from all over, really, and from even other English speaking countries that listen to the podcast. So, there's all sorts of accents listening in. So it's awesome. I love it. Why don't you also share? And this kind of actually gets into, I guess, our kind of the beginning of our conversation. So like I said, we are talking about spending quiet time with God, and we've just been going over how difficult it can kind of be sometimes to try to find that time. And yet that kind of ends up biting us in the hiney when we really need that peace. Yeah. And we really need to be able to lean on him. And yet it's this continual struggle. And I also think within our daily lives and as seasons change and even different ages and all of the different things make for different challenges in keeping our priorities straight. And, but I also feel like it can be a huge weight, and sometimes you can compare yourself to somebody else's quiet time with God or feel kind of burdened or pressured. And that's not really how it should be. It should really be a time of refresh. And, I'm excited because Ashley is a Gen Z. And so I think that it's cool to have you, your generation, someone from your generation weighing in on this topic. And so why don't you start with when you gave your life to the Lord, and kind of like maybe even like early in your life, like what your relationship with the Lord looked like as you were growing up?
I grew up going to church. Literally my whole life I've been in church, thankfully. I was homeschooled, so like curriculum, like it was just really enriched, like it was just in all aspects of my life, like being a Christian. And so I remember being saved at a really young age, honestly, like probably like 6, you know. It's just, I guess that's like my first remembrance of it. But obviously, like most relationships, you know, it's not very linear. I remember when I was younger, you know, in school, or, you know, we, you know, just like praying before we would eat and that sort of thing. Like, I remember that being a big deal and like something that we did consistently. And then the older you get, it does become, or it did for me, it was less of a priority. You know, middle school, high school, you're kind of, you know, you have friends, you get that whole attitude, I guess, that it's not as important, or it feels more of like a chore. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that kind of, that being like up and down on how much I really spent, how much time I really spent with the Lord. It was just kind of, you know, spotty, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I think really when I got into college, I was like 18 or 19. And honestly, I was going through like a really awful relationship. I had to get in the Word and kind of just study it and like really gain knowledge of like, this is like, these are the scriptures, and this is why I believe what I believe. And I think that's kind of when I really started more so like my relationship with God, not just like my knowledge of Jesus.
So I know for me, when like, I always remember talking to God, and I always knew that he was there. And I can remember from the time, like my first memories were like the first time I remember God answering a prayer for me and knowing that he was there was, he told me Savannah was a girl when my mom was pregnant with Savannah, and I was four, almost five. And, so he told me, and I told my mom, I'm so excited about my sister. And she was like, oh, what if it's a brother? And I was like, it's a sister, God told me. And she was like, oh, but what if it's a brother? And I was like, no, nope, God told me. And she was like, oh Lord, okay. And so we go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, well, the heartbeat seems fast. I'm pretty sure it's probably a boy. And then my mom, and I said, nope, God told me, Jesus told me it was a sister. And the doctor was like, well, it might be a brother. And I was like, it's a sister. And I was so sure. And I can really remember that moment of like knowing, like I knew, like I can remember thinking, you guys are crazy. Like Jesus told me this. I don't know why you're not believing me.
Don't question me in Jesus.
Yeah. And so when Savannah was born, the doctor actually came out and apologized to me. He's like, you were right. It is a sister. I was like, I know. But yet, like you were saying, like there is this point at which you have to make a decision, because your childlike faith, where you're learning about the Lord, especially when you grow up in the church, you're learning about the Lord, and then, you know, you're getting the knowledge, and then you are talking to him and you are having relationship with him. But when you become an adult and you are making decisions for yourself, then it's like your choice to actually follow him or not. Like, I know for me, I dated a guy before Kevin who was not great either. Been there to the not great, dating somebody that wasn't great. And he was Catholic. And I remember the Lord like convicting my heart on it. And I remembered like not listening. Like, I remember being like, no, I like him, and just kind of wanting to not listen. I can remember sitting at church and hearing the Lord be like, Caroline, this is not the best for you. This, I have better for you. And being like, I'm not listening. And that was not good. Do not recommend, 10 out of 10. Eventually, yeah. And so, but then my choice when I broke up with him to say, I don't want to date somebody that's not sold out for God. Like I, like my life goal is to walk with Jesus all of my days. That is my number one goal. But you kind of have to make, I feel like it's good when you have those moments where you kind of like make that choice, you know, where you're deciding, no, I am, like, I have the choice to not, like, I have the choice to not go to church, to not sit down and read my Bible. And, but yet you pick it up and you read it, and it's so good.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like, especially, I've always kind of said this, like, we really do in Tennessee live in the Bible Belt. And so most people do say, you know, I'm a Christian. And so that had happened, you know, a lot where you date somebody and they're like, oh, they're a Christian. You're like, oh, perfect. And then you really get to know them and there's like no fruit. It's not, they don't actually, you know, want to like obey. Yeah, like you're saying, like that commitment, it was not there. I guess it just kind of showed me like the importance of, even, I know this is a marriage podcast too, but just equally yoked, like how important that was. Even when I really wasn't, I guess, in the word as much. Like, it really, like you were saying, like, I felt very convicted, like, that I did not need to marry this person, and, like, was just not the right relationship for me. And so I guess, yeah, that just was kind of a turning point for my relationship with God, because I was like, the more knowledge and the more you know about God, the more you learn to love him. So,
and the more you crave it, I feel like you just want to know more, the more you learn. And I also think it's interesting, because I think there's a lot of people, you know, like you and me both grew up in the church, God in our home. And I think sometimes people go to church with their parents, they don't really make that commitment. They never do, like what you were saying, like where you decide, no, this is what I want. It, mm-hmm. you know, is this relationship with God.
Yeah. So I recommend it to anybody, but I just started a devotional, and it's called Upon Waking, and it's by Jackie Hill Perry. And she is my girl, first of all. And it was really funny, because it was probably a couple weeks ago, but I was like kind of starting to make, you know, notes and just thinking about like what this podcast was going to be about, and like kind of what I wanted to like say, or kind of what quiet time meant to me, and like, what it looks like for me. And literally, like the first devotional was talking about how intentional God is, and when he talks about himself, and how he is like the bread of life, and how food is so biological to people, you know, like you need it every day, you need it as fuel, and not once a day, you know, you need it three times a day, or however many times, and pretty much our bodies revolve around it. You know, you wake up, you're like, oh, I need breakfast, and then you need lunch, and then you need dinner, and then you go to bed. And it was just a really good parallel to me, because it was just cool that I was coming on here and talking about it, but it just really put into perspective like how important feeding your soul by getting into the word and by talking to God and podcast, or, you know, worship, or whatever that looks like for people. And it'll change, of course. you'll go through like through phases of your life, but it was just really neat to see how intentional God is about that, and how much we can relate to that.
Well, and it's funny, because now that you say that, our daily bread, which mm-hmm. obviously I've thought about that before, but when you're saying it right now and saying how we need it consistently, like you do fasting for one meal for anything, whether for prayer or for diet or something, you feel like you're going to kill people. Like you're going to die. Yes. You have like the headache that is like pounding, and you are drinking water going, oh my gosh, this is not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. And so that's so true. And when you put that, I love how you put that, that it's such on, when you think about it in that light, how it is something we need every day. And I think, aren't we so prone to want to have a fix that fixes for good? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like even as a believer, even though I know that we need God every day and that I need to come to him, and it's so apparent. And I think the sooner we realize that,
yes,
the better.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, and it was encouraging, because I want to say it was a Jen Wilkin podcast, I'm not sure, but she was mm-hmm. just talking about how, like, even in your quiet time, like, you know, some people make it, you know, you have to feel a certain way, or it has to, like, a scripture has to jump out at you, like, oh, this is exactly what I'm going through, you know, this is perfect. And she was kind of just saying, like, that's not how quiet time is going to look all the time. Like, you may just read the word, and honestly, it just is for discipline, or like, you'll read something that is not useful to you now, but mm-hmm. something may happen in a week or in a month, or, you know, whenever, and it just becomes useful. Because I think something that's kind of been just like really on my heart is like how much the Bible and how much is talked about, like his word and his scriptures are supposed to be hidden in our hearts and in our minds, and like written, you know, on your foreheads and like everything else. And it's like, you can't do that unless you don't, you know, if you don't read the Bible. And so even if it doesn't feel like, oh, this was extremely helpful to me today, it's still a commandment, you know, to have those maybe not significant to you right then verses.
Well, I had a situation where when I went into surgery after my cyst burst, and they were literally like,
bursting me through the doors on the gurney, you know, to go into surgery. Mm-hmm. And right then, like in my head was, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. And the first thing I thought when it went through my head was, I didn't memorize that. I didn't memorize that, but I read it and I knew I read it. I remembered reading it and I was like, oh my gosh. And it was probably maybe not the first time, but really the first very blatant time where it was the power of the Holy Spirit brought scripture to me that I had read that I hadn't purposefully memorized or even read tons and tons of times over and over again, like, you know, like your life verse or something like that. It was like, wow, Lord, that's amazing what you can do with mm-hmm. that, with scripture, when we just are faithful to just feed on his word. Now, after you kind of had made the decision to be more intentional about pursuing Christ, what did it look like?
So through that a little bit, I was still dating this said person. And actually, obviously, I broke up with him over those reasons. I guess, you know, not aligning in those thought processes. But after that, again, I feel like it's linear. And I have a friend, she sent us this thing, or I guess this quote from a book that was just talking about like your habits and your discipline and stuff. And obviously you're constantly being sanctified and disciplined, you know, when you think about habits, you know, I don't remember exactly, but that thing, you know, it takes like 30 days of consistency or whatever to mm-hmm. build a habit. So, you know, it was still spotty. I was still pursuing, I was wanting to pursue the Lord a lot, but I was in nursing school at the time, probably wasn't in the best friend group, or at least they weren't bad, but just not pushing me to a better relationship with God. I ended up actually starting to go to young adult mm-hmm. class that was at my church, and I started helping in our youth group. And that kind of really, really turned it around for me, just being around people who are my age. Not that this is bad, but, you know, when you get to my age, there's either like a young married couple group or like a high school group. There's like that in between is yes. like really hard. And so it was good to just be around that. And then on Wednesdays, I was also around a lot of young adults because we were all volunteers for the most part, you know, in our youth group. And it was just really encouraging and honestly, just a lot of accountability, you know, to just be
with the walking. Youth.
Yeah. With
the youth, because they're watching you and you're like answering questions for them. Like mm-hmm. I know in seasons where I'm preparing for things in particular, like it makes you looking to the word because you want to be a good example for people. You want to give correct biblical information, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They're seeking your counsel a lot. And so, yeah, you don't want to steer them the wrong way. And so, yeah, it was really good. That was just really good for me for that season. And then obviously, I think God is very intentional. Like within that season, we actually left that church and we got pretty hurt by the church. And mm-hmm. I think if I hadn't have been in those times, like really becoming intimate with the Lord, like I think that going into that season and coming out of it would have looked really different. Obviously, there's a plan for everything, but it's cool to look back now.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's really good what you said about the fact that had you not been pursuing God's heart when the church hurt you, you would have probably had misplaced blame to God mm-hmm. versus like, well, they're just people and this isn't really a healthy place for us to be right now. So we're going to be somewhere else. But to be able to kind of move away from that, I think that's like in a healthy way. And I think that is mm-hmm. being in God's word. That's the way you discern anything in life and discern what is good. It also helps you to be able to, you know, not be easily offended, which it's so easy to get offended.
Well, and I think too, like it'll lead you into things like after that, like we ended up starting like a women's Bible study group and we went over Jude, which is about, you know, for the most part, like false prophets and stuff. So it was really good to see what the word says about it. And then it was just good and encouraging to be with
a new group of women, or, you know, women we knew but didn't know on that level. So yeah. It was really good, just that follow through, I guess.
And I think, too, this is for everybody listening. Just hear what we're saying about, what we're both saying about the fact that it is really important to know God's word for yourself. And it's also important to be in community and to dive into God's word together and by yourself. And you learn and, you know, continue to just, it's a lifelong pursuit to know God and his character. And the Bible helps mm-hmm. us with that. Now, what did it look like for you? How did you start diving in?
For the most part, in that phase, I guess, of that season of my life, my young adult group was doing what's in the Bible. And so I was actually more reading in the Word. You know, I'd read these two chapters a day, and then we would get together and we'd talk about, you know, what we liked or what something that stood out to us, or, you know, what we thought this actually meant, what this means and whatnot. But also, I'm not a morning person, like at all. Like, it is not my thing. I don't like to wake up. And so as a nurse, when I was working in the hospital, I'd have to be out. I'd have to be at the hospital and like clocked in by 6:30. So yeah, I'll just be honest. I was not waking up before I was getting ready to read the word. I was like,
I'm having an hour of prayer before.
No, I was honestly doing bare minimum. I was getting dressed and brushing my teeth and walking out the door probably. But when I got there, I normally had about to an hour that it was the shift change. And if I had had patients before, didn't really need to go to report, I would just sit at my desk and I would just listen to worship music while I wrote down my assignments for the day and what needed to be done and doctor's orders and that sort of thing. And I guess that was really my pick me up for the day, and it did help. And then on lunch on the Bible app, I would do like a little something just to kind of, I guess, get me through my 12-hour day. But
yeah, those are great tips though, because that's a great real life tip, because there are seasons like that where you have a job where you're there super early, but honestly, you could have made the choice to not listen to anything while you were like filling out reports or whatever, or you could have made the choice to listen to something else, listen to another kind of music. And on your lunch, you could have been like, you know, I want to call my mom on my lunch, or I'm going to look at social media. So making those intentional choices, and none of those are bad things, obviously. It's not bad to listen to another kind of music or to do mm-hmm. something different. But when you have those crazy seasons and then you make those intentional choices in those moments where you're like, well, I can listen to worship music. That's so great. Such a great tip for anybody who's listening, who's in a season like that, where they're like, my margin is like barely there.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like recently, like I've kind of been deconstructing what quiet time is. Like, I think there's such like a, you have to get up and you have to do it before you start anything else. And like, that's the first thing you do in the day. And then, you know, that's kind of it. And it did look like reading the Bible and doing a devotional journal, you know, whatever. And again, like, none of those are bad things. My mom, she gets up like 3 hours before she has to go to work, so she has time to do all of her things. She's a morning person though, so I will say that. But yeah, I was just working a job where I was driving 2 hours there and then 2 hours back to the house. And quiet time really changed for me. There were times where like I really felt like I just needed to listen to worship music, and it was really good for me. And then sometimes I was listening to podcasts that were speaking into things that were happening in my life or in my friend's life, or, you know, whoever that I felt like I could help speak into their situation or what was going on with them. And so it does look different. Obviously, I can't read my Bible while I'm driving. There was this really good like analogy from this essay that I had read, and it was like talking about a good marriage and then your relationship with God. And it's like, don't want to be in a marriage where you know, your wife is, or your husband is like, you have to talk to me only 35 minutes today. And if you go over or under, like, I'm going to be disappointed. And if you don't plan 3 dates a week, like, I'm going to be disappointed. Or if you plan too many, like, it's too much. Just saying how, you know, your wife or your husband is just going to be happy when, you know, there's effort put into, like, I'm going to find a babysitter and I'm going to plan this, and it's going to be this day I'm going to pick out your outfit or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like that effort that's put into it is what means a lot to a lot of people, and especially, you know, your spouse. And it's like, could you be a better husband or wife? Sure. But you don't have to be like a drill sergeant about it to walk in faithfulness and fruitfulness. Really, it was really good for me because I was just, it kind of had felt like that for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, with this social media age, like we have, you know, you like go on stories and these pictures of their Bible and their little coffee, and that's not bad. Like you said, it's not bad, but that could make you feel really overwhelmed. Like, oh shoot, I didn't have time today. And I don't know if I'm like, Lord, I don't know when I'm going to meet with you today. But of course, if you're saying that to him, you're meeting with him right then and there.
Right.
Sometimes even just, like you said, your willingness, God meets you there. And that's the cool thing too, is like, you, it can feel overwhelming, but it's the Holy Spirit that comes in and teaches us and meets us in that intentionality and in that desire to know God better. I mean, God loves that, you know, that that's our desire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we just, with Savannah, we just finished our Abide Bible study. And John says it a couple of times, but when you abide in the Lord, he's going to abide in you. That was just like the beauty of it. Like you said, you just have to be intentional about abiding in him in all of, you know, in all of the things. But like you said, that can look different all the time.
Yeah. So. And it's interesting too, because I had a season, so a couple of years ago before I started my podcast and blog, I spent a whole year off of social media and I didn't have to work. Kevin was working and I didn't have to work, and I was writing, but I wasn't like publishing anything. I spent so much time with the Lord and it was so wonderful, but I'm in a new season where I'm working now and it's a lot harder. And I've been lamenting a little bit, thinking about those days that I had where I could spend like 2 hours poring over one chapter, just praying and thinking about it and pulling historical stuff about it. And oh my gosh, this is so cool. But it's, you're right. It's like so different, the different seasons. And I know, so I do a word of the year every year and the Lord just gives me a word. And I just always, throughout the year, just no matter what I'm studying in the word or anywhere, I'm just like always looking for what God's trying to teach me about that word. And this year it was grace. The Lord told me, we're going to start with you. And I was like, with me? And it was like, but I really needed to learn grace for myself so that I can have grace for other people. Like I was hard on myself about a lot of things, and the Lord, you know, wants me to be diligent, but he's also like, have some grace for yourself, you know?
Oh, definitely. It's kind of funny that you're saying that, because that I had literally like just, and probably still, you know, it's an ongoing thing, but I feel like I had kind of been going through this same thing where with quiet time, like there, like I was hard on myself about like, oh, I didn't do XYZ today, or just keep up with this devotional over whatever, and I missed 26 days, you know. And I read this essay that I kind of mentioned earlier, and it's literally titled On the Crushing Guilt of Failing at Quiet Time.
Ooh.
And it is so good. It's by Kevin DeYoung. He was kind of just talking about how when he started doing quiet time, like he was judgmental of other people because he was so diligent about it, but he was doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm. And then when he kind of moved on from that, he was talking about how it felt like a metaphysical workout. Like you could always do more. Like I could always read another chapter, or like kind of how you feel like when you go to the gym, like you work out for an hour, but like, oh, I could always run a mile, or I could walk, you know, whatever. It's just really like, it is like spiritual disciplines are important, but that grace that goes along with it, like if you do, you know, miss a day, like that there isn't like a disappointment in that from God. You know,
comparing it to a workout, like I could do more, you know, and I could read more, because that is true. But we're here, we're supposed to live this life. And the reason we dive into the word is to help us to live this life. And if we're not living this mm-hmm. life, it's like, what is it for? Like, we might as well just be in heaven and not be living here. Right. If we're not in community with people and working and living.
Well, and it sounds like our seasons have swapped, because I was working a lot and it was hard for me to find time. And then now I am not. I'm a stay-at-home wife.
I love it.
So I do have a lot of time to kind of spread it out over my day even. So
honestly, it's so cool to hear you talk about the season before you met Dakota, because, and I've told you this before, but like, we've been praying for you since like Dakota was in the womb, which means like you were still a twinkle in heaven and you're still twinkle yeah. in your parents' eye. But we've been praying for you, and we've like continue to have been praying for you. And so it's so cool to hear, to just see what God was doing in your life, the praying for you to be the woman of God he wants you to be, you know, and to make Dakota who he wanted him to be. You know, we've like had all these like prayers for his future wife. And then it's just like so cool to hear that side of it. I love it.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. It's so like cliche, but I had listened to a podcast where this girl was talking about like, as soon as she stopped like trying to date or trying to find a boyfriend, and she was really trying to seek God, she found her husband. And so I was like, oh, like, that's like really neat. And like, I was in that season, I guess, and didn't really know it. I had totally sworn off dating. Like, I was like, never. I was like, I'll just be single. It's fine. Like, I'm okay with this life. And I was just really pursuing God, and there popped up Dakota. So
hey guys, it's Kevin
and Caroline Rogers. As you probably know by now, we love our marriage and are so passionate about giving others the tools they need to truly have a joyful marriage.
It breaks our hearts to know the divorce rate, whether you are a Christian or not, is 50%.
Yikes.
We also know that nobody gets married and hopes to have a divorce.
Exactly. This is why we feel God has given us the motivation to equip as many couples as possible before walking down the aisle.
On our 20th wedding anniversary, we launched an online premarital course. We share our own experiences as well as what God's Word says about marriage.
In it, we go over 5 cornerstones of a healthy, God-honoring marriage and give you tangible tips on how to walk in it. You'll have over 5 hours of video teaching from us, along with downloadable resources to take into your marriage.
We have always loved our marriage and want you to love yours too. If you're getting married and would love to have some great tools to take into marriage, join us today for the course.
Hey, even if you know anyone who is getting married, be sure to share this info with them. Link to the course is in the show notes or on our website, MarriedRogersNeighborhood.com.
While you're busy planning your wedding,
don't forget to plan your marriage. Join us and learn how to thrive and not just survive.
I love it. And that's an encouragement for anyone listening who's still single and not wanting to be single, or maybe you're right where Ashley was and you're just fine with being single. Just keep your eye out for God's next best thing for you.
Oh yeah.
So during the nursing thing, it was a lot harder to get into quiet time and it kind of looked different. Yeah. And now you kind of have more time. So you were mm-hmm. saying it's like, now you can kind of do it. However, now though that you're married, what does that look like?
So we actually just got a devotional that we started doing in the mornings together. It's a Bob Goff devotional. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's most of what we pray together at nighttime and in the mornings. But I guess that's most of what we do. Dakota's gone for 11 hours, so there's a big gap. So yeah. It's been good. He took some time off of work, like in youth. He does it still Sunday mornings. And actually recently the youth pastor has invited me to come help do that in the morning. So I've been thinking and praying about that, jumping back into that. I think it's obviously on purpose that me and Dakota both have a heart for the youth and for youth groups and stuff like that. And so I think it would be cool to serve together in that way. But we, of course, we go to church together, and it's definitely not what I guess, you know, like before you get married, you're like, we're going to do this, we're going to get up and we're going to have coffee together. You know, like you have this like perfectly set out what it's going to look like Instagram perfect or picture perfect what it's going to look like every morning. And it hasn't looked like that, but like we even just still have good conversation about what I'm learning and what he's learning and stuff that's happening in our lives. And even, I mean, for me, more than him, I think, but you know, I moved like an hour and a half from my family and my like whole support group, my Bible study, my friends, like all of it. And then I am alone a lot. I don't work as much and he works a lot. So it has been good for me to just to, I think it's been a little lonely, but it's kind of been a time been able to like open up to Dakota too, like just about like, hey, this has been hard on me. Like, you know, like just little different things that we haven't had to do before. So
that's all really good encouragement too, though. And just a good picture into just kind of moving into married life. And I would say from experience in terms of like how we've done, you know, quiet time with God together and separate and whatever, it's definitely looked different over the years. I mean, like during COVID when neither of us were working and we were just home, like we would wake up and it kind of looked like that. Like we wake up, we like sit at the, you know, dining room table for a couple of hours, like with our coffee and reading the Bible and talking about God's word. And it was like, this is so wonderful, you know? And now one of the things we've been doing is usually do a Bible app, just the daily one. And we do that together. But then we also try to read as well, but it doesn't happen every day. And it's usually like later in the evening that we'll actually read.
I mean, we've not been married very long, but like even like you were saying in COVID, you know, when we were on our honeymoon, like we were going through like the meaning of marriage. We were reading through math, you know, like we were doing in that little book you got us. Like we were doing all the things because we had all the time in the world. We were in paradise. And so it was just like perfect. And then, you know, you get, like you said, you get home and it looks different, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. So
good, honestly, to have that, those moments where you have to kind of like adjust, because when you have to continually make it the pursuit, and even if it looks different, to continue to pursue God's heart, it also helps when it is for the right reasons, you will pursue it. Like you will just, you will just figure it out. And then just like the grace bit is so important. I've kind of already actually gone over like the results of spending. Did you have anything else to say on that?
I think sometimes it's hard to see your own fruit, but I think people will definitely notice it about you. I think being married and like moving out, and also just not just being married, but getting older. I mean, you know, life is hard and we have so many friends and people that we love that are just going through really hard times. And it's like, I had a friend tell me the other day, she's like, I don't know how people who aren't Christians like get through these things. And it's like, dang, I don't know either. It's like, And so I think really it just has felt like, not in a bad way, but it just is like a preparation to be encouraging to other people. But then it also encourages you, you know, in your times of whatever is going on. I was reading in 2 Corinthians, the whole first like chapter pretty much is like about how one of like God's attributes is he is the God of all comfort. Just how like when you know God's comfort, you're able to give it to other people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been kind of like one of those things recently. Life is hard, get a helmet and the armor of God.
Yep.
And
best helmet.
Yeah, it really is a spiritual discipline when you get down to it. And it's like you have to, even if you don't feel like it, like sometimes like to really get into the habit. And like you said, like feed that want to, you know, to want to be in the word, to want to know more about God, to want to be closer to him. And then once you do it, like you were saying about how you get, if you fast, one of the things that devotional said, it was like, you know, you become hangry and all these other things. Straw that broke the camel's back is quick. Like it could just be the slightest thing. It's like, imagine how you react to people and how you treat people. And when you don't have your spiritual food. And I was just like, dang. Like it's just encouraging for your whole day. Like it just sets a tone, even if it is worship music, even if it is a podcast. Like it gets you thinking about your day and about like God and like how you can look at that through his lens and not yours. It's just been good.
Amen. I love it. It makes me sad that you feel lonely as your sister. I'm like, I don't want you to feel lonely. But I'm just going to pray that God shows you exactly what you're supposed to do with your time.
You know, like it's a season, definitely. Like when we started our Bible study, you know, that helps a lot. It gives me you know, something to look forward to, more people that I can reach out to or that reach out to me. And so community is huge. I mean, and you talk about another like accountability thing. I mean, shoot. And Bible studies advice for people is if you're not good at being in the Word every day, get a Bible study that, you know, you have a day one through day five homework that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, you don't want to get behind. It's like regular homework. So that was always good for me too.
Yeah. I think that's great advice for sure. And it's also good when you're doing a Bible study with people because you just are talking about the Word and you're getting taught and you're, and I think God could use his other people to speak to you too, you know, because he's speaking to them and then they'll tell you what God showed them through what you read. And you're like, whoa, that's amazing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it is with community groups or Bible study groups. Something sticks out to somebody and for the situation they're in. And then you're like, oh dang, like I didn't think about that. Or like, I have another friend that's in the same situation as you. Like maybe I should, you know, reach out to them or whatever. So it's always encouraging.
That's so perfect and so good. Well, I think we'll wrap up with the rapid fire questions. Okay, what is giving you life right now?
Well, not this cold weather. today, the high is 42 for whatever reason. Well, me and Dakota have started like a TV show together, and I just think it's fun to start TV shows together. Like, I don't know, yes. It's fun to look forward to something.
Yes.
And I started a book called You Are More Than You've Been Told. Mm. And it is really good. And it's actually, a lot of it is about like easy like ways to apply, like reading the Bible and like doing like kind of what we were talking about. But yeah, it's really good. Yep. I've started that. I'm trying to be better about just reading books and finishing books, I guess. I get excited and start books and then I don't finish them. So.
I love books and I haven't had as much time to read books lately and I miss it. I love it. I love books. Oh. We'll link that book in the show notes, Jen. So that answers my second question. It's given you life, unless you have a playlist or a podcast recommendation.
I always listen to her podcast, but Jackie Hill Perry and her husband have a podcast called The Perrys, mm-hmm. and is like my favorite. She's my girl. I made my own playlist. I've been listening to, like, if I hear something that's like, I'm like, oh, I need that. also kind of restarting the boundaries book by Dr. Henry Cloud. And
so in the last episode that aired, I interviewed Tori's sister-in-law, Holly, and she's reading that book. And she recommended that book too. So I'm like, oh, okay, God. I think that God's trying to like say something to somebody. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
I'll say there's a boundaries in dating book and I wasn't dating anybody, but it was kind of, I was kind of like prefacing like when I started dating and it was like life changing. So,
oh, awesome.
Yes.
I'll definitely link both of those because that's awesome. And I think that needs to be the next book that I read.
Yeah. It'll kind of punch you in the gut, but it's good.
I love those.
Yeah.
And then your life verse or a verse that's speaking to you right now.
So I guess my scripture that I've had it's probably been my favorite for a really long time, but it's 2 Timothy 2:13 where it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful for he cannot deny himself. And I just love that he cannot deny himself. All of the things that we know about God, they won't change.
It's so comforting. Mm-hmm. I love that. Extra excited. This has been such a great interview. And I'm so excited for the listeners to hear our conversation and just be encouraged in their season of life to just pursue God's heart. I am excited because our family is going on a little getaway. And so me and Ashley are doing this interview on Zoom right now. But the funny story is that I will be with her tomorrow night.
Literally.
Yeah. And, but I did want to do the interview today. So, and then I don't have to fly with my microphone and all that jazz. Right. So, and then we can enjoy the family stuff when we're all just there together and actually just soak in time together. So I am so looking forward to all of our time together, but this has been awesome. And I'm just so glad that everybody got to hear the heart of my sweet sister and, we're just so blessed by you, and I'm so blessed to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
I love you.
Love you.
All right, friends, that's it for today. I'm so thankful you joined us and hope it spurs you on to encourage someone else. You can find and interact with me at Real Housewives of the Kingdom on both Instagram and Facebook, and my website, marriedrogersneighborhood.com, which is linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would really appreciate if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening. Just remember, we are in this together. God loves you, and you are not alone. See you next time.